Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, connecting you to a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for joining us today. You can subscribe to keep up to date with us. Did you know you can also join our service each Sunday via a live online meeting? Please get in touch to find out more about that. But for now, we pray you enjoy what God has in store for you in this episode and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, welcome.
Good morning and welcome to HBC Online. That's Hawley Baptist Church. If you don't know what HBC stands for, just realise that.
That's very good.
I'm Jen.
I'm Angie, and pleased to have you with us this morning.
We are very pleased to have you with us. So we have got, I think it's the final one of our current series of an open invitation. We've had Come and See, mm-hmm. but I feel like there was a something invitation.
I can't remember
our between us that one.
And that was Helen.
And then Good Invitation was the last episode, which was Martin.
Yep.
And today is David with Enjoyable Invitation, which, yeah.
I presume that means that an enjoyable experience when you come, not that the invitation will be enjoyable.
Yes.
Well, you know indeed. I mean, have an invitation over a coffee.
Here's the really enjoyable invitation.
You can eat it. It's on a cake.
Yes. Come to HBC on a cake.
That would be which enjoyable slice
would you like? What slice would you like?
I don't think that's what it means.
No, I don't think it's what it means.
Are we going to be in trouble?
I think we probably are. Yeah. I think we've just. I mean, you know, it's trying to make it snappy, isn't it, for titles?
Yes. Yeah.
So we think our interpretation of this is that actually you feel confident that the experience is going to be enjoyable to invite somebody to the enjoyable experience.
Yes,
is what we think it's probably meant to mean.
Right. Which is a weird concept, because for some people they may not think church should be enjoyable.
Yes.
It is enjoyable.
Yes, because if you think about some people who go to church to really revere and be serious, don't they?
Yeah, and if they went as children and it wasn't, and they were made to sit still and it was boring, and then they wouldn't see it as an enjoyable.
No, so definitely
maybe
not.
Maybe it's a random concept.
Yes.
Do you enjoy church?
Well, when I was younger.
Like you meant now, but no, when you were younger.
When I was younger, it was a bit more sort of traditional. I went to a traditional Church of England, sort of Anglican church, and it was, you know, with choir robes and stuff. And so that felt, Sunday school was quite enjoyable. I don't remember it being unenjoyable, not enjoyable.
Not enjoyable.
but I find church enjoyable now. Yeah, I think I do.
Because
it's friendly, welcoming, inviting. It's biscuits, cake, and coffee and tea would always invite me in. But also it's vibrant, it's lively, it's things aren't too dirgy.
That's a good word. I think you're right. Yeah. We've got a banner on the rec at the minute that says church but different. We're not different from lots of churches, but I think we are different from what some people's perception of church would be. And it is, I think it's quite enjoyable. I think it's a little bit bonkers sometimes.
Well, probably for us, and you more so than anybody else, because Angie does a lot of running around in the morning, so it's probably feel very popular.
It's good, keeps me fit. But it is, but I think it's enjoyable for me, but it's part of that because I know the people here.
Yes.
So I guess if it's...
So if you didn't know anybody, there'd be that element of anxiety walking into a place that you don't know on your own. Like, it's like when you go into a pub to meet somebody and you're the first one there and you walk in and you go, everybody's looked at me. It's one of those local pubs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it can feel a little bit, I would imagine, like that, just an experience I'm thinking would liken to that. And then you're don't know what to expect.
No.
So you don't know.
So you're going to have that nervous thing going on, aren't you?
Yeah. But what do you find enjoyable, though, Angie? What's the sort of thing you'll get to? Well, just generally, what do you find enjoyable?
Oh, I don't really know. I like eating cake. I like drinking coffee. I like going to the theatre.
A lot of that's happening. Maybe the theatre element.
Well, it's a bit...
it's a stage.
Bits of church, a bit like theatre, because Bits Suite, you sit down and you watch, don't you? And I enjoy sitting and watching and listening to what people have got to say. I quite like singing. I know that's not everyone's thing. If you don't like singing, then... You can still enjoy listening to singing. I think our services are quite varied.
Yes.
So I think there's
a lot
bits to
components
enjoy.
For different people, isn't there? So it's always very difficult to make an enjoyable experience for everybody.
Yes.
But anyway, we've just gone off down a large rabbit hole, and we don't know David might be talking about actually an enjoyable invitation and having a coffee whilst you invite. So
yeah, I hope we haven't put you off staying and listening to the sermon.
Do stay and listen to find out what it's actually about. That's a reason to listen. And let's
and if you want more rabbiting afterwards, we'll be here afterwards.
Yes, we'll be here afterwards. Let's go to the intro.
Some of the biggest moments in life start with something small, an invitation, a coffee, a conversation, a simple come and see. For many of us, our faith began because someone reached out, someone invited us. So what if your invitation could change someone's life? Because a simple invite can change everything.
For those who have been here for the last couple of services, we've been talking about invitations. And for those who are just coming today, just a brief reminder. We're talking about being able to invite people to a setting like this, but it's a bit more than that. A simple invitation can change a life, but how you invite people also matters. Why you invite people matters. You tend to invite people to things you enjoy. We talked about 2 weeks ago, Helen talked about no arguments, no pressure, just come and see. Just come and see. Martin last week talked about a good invitation, but also said we should be aware of the church's reputation in people's minds. Some people have a bad impression of church. And today I'm going to talk about an enjoyable invitation. But I thought I would do it in three ways. To think about the inviter, and some of you who are here would be in that position, people who are going to invite people. Then there's a second group of people called the invited, and there are going to be quite a few of you here who are here today because you've been invited. We're going to talk about the host, and then something I've called the what ifs. Who are the what ifs? I think one of them's trying to get through to us. So we'll start talking about the inviter, and that's going to be quite a few of us here at the moment. To start, I just want to tell you a bit of a story. This is something that's in the Bible. It's in the book called the Acts of the Apostles. So when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and was going back into heaven, he empowered his disciples, and they did quite a few things, and this is told up in the book of Acts. So one of the stories talks about two of Jesus' disciples called Peter and John. They're going into the synagogue, and they walk past this man who is lame and begging for alms. And Peter and John look at him and say, look, we've got no silver, we've got no gold, but in Jesus Christ's name, stand up and walk. And he stands up and he's jumping and is leaping for joy. And everyone's really happy except the authorities. And they take Peter and John and they throw them in jail. They spend the night in jail. And then the next morning they're brought before the religious authorities and told, what are you doing and why are you doing it? And they start talking and they're quite confident and they give a robust defense. And the people there, the Bible says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. There was something different about these people. For the inviter, there should be something about you that makes people want to accept the invitation. Some people who've known you forever look and think, something different about you. What is it about you? And I don't know that Jesus touches anyone's life and leaves them the same. There's something different. Paul, writing to the people in Philippi, said to them, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. My impression is Paul is writing this to people who are probably going through a very difficult time. And he's telling them the way to approach this is to be joyful. Let your gentleness be evident to all. You will have thought of times when you've been going through difficulties and the last thing you want to do is be gentle. You probably want to strike back. And then one of your friends who's expecting you to strike back notices you've changed. Let that gentleness be evident to all. Let there be something different about you. When you send the invitation, people might want to come. There's a second thing, though, which is, why should we invite anyone anyway? I was struck by the two testimonies this morning. You just don't know what people are going through. Both testimonies included people saying, I was at the lowest point of my life. And we walk past people every day. We work with people. You just don't know what they're going through. Paul is writing to the Romans, and he tells them, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But he says, how then can they call on one they don't believe in? And how can they believe in somebody they've not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. For that person at their lowest point, they need to know that there is a way out. There is salvation. But how can they call on someone they don't believe in? Church should be that place where people are able to get to, find out about Christ, and then go out and tell others. Important to do that. So the question I ask myself is, why don't I do it? Why don't I do it more often? Some people it comes naturally to. Martin was telling us last week about Dan, and it just comes naturally to him. For other people, it's not so natural. So this is my first what if. What if they turned down the invitation? And that's one thing I look at. You know, I might invite you, but what if they say no? So I'll tell you the story of J&R, two of my friends. I became a Christian just after I graduated from university. And these were people I'd been friends with. And suddenly I changed. I was one of those people, those Christians. So I walked into the restaurant and met both of them there. And they said, hi, okay, fine. Come and tell us about Jesus. Come and convert us. Yeah, we'll sit down here. We'll listen to you say something. And I stuttered, and I didn't have the words, and I said something. And I just, after a few minutes, walked out feeling defeated. I just thought, I didn't have the words. I didn't know what to do. 18 months later, I bumped into Jay. R was her sister. I bumped into Jay in North London. And we're talking, and she said, what are you doing on Sunday? Do you want to come to our church? I thought, sorry? Come to your church. And not only does she go to church, her husband's a pastor. 18 months before, I thought I was completely hopeless. 18 months later, you see what God's done in someone else's life. Times you look and you think, I'm not capable, not worthy. I look at myself standing here, and I still struggle with the thought of calling it preaching. I call it sharing. Other people preach, people like Martin. I can share. What if I get the words wrong? What about the meaning? But actually, because it's more than what you expect you ever will be able to do, when people see you, they will know the glory belongs to God and not to you. So for the first what if they turn down the invitation? Leave it to Christ. A bit about the inviter. Everyone is welcome, but not everyone will come, and you have to accept that. What about the invited? Another story. It's about a great feast, and it's taken me quite a few weeks trying to put the thoughts together for this, and as of yesterday, I still was working on it, and I just walked into church today and read the article on the wall in the Yours magazine, and it was like they'd taken it from what I was going to say. And if you ever wanted validation, God was leading you somewhere, that's it. It's exactly the same thing about the feast. So there's this person who's holding a party, and he wants people to come, so he sends invitations out to his friends. The first one says, look, I've just bought a field. I can't come. I need to look after it. The second one says, look, I've just bought some oxen. I can't leave. I need to look after them. Third one says, I've just got married. Sorry, I'll have to turn you down. So he goes back to his master and says, none of them's going to come. And then the master says, okay, look, you know what? We're going to open this wide to everyone. Go out. Just go out and fetch people. And they go out. There's one who's lame. There's one who's blind. There's a widow. There are people who are just lost, poor. Every one of them is invited. They come to the party and they have a good time at the party. The point about this with the invited is for those people who were called in, it wasn't go and get washed up, go and change your life, go and, no, you just needed to be you. You're invited to come as you are. Leave the transformation to Christ. You don't need to be dressed in a certain way. When my wife and I were moved into the area, we're looking for the church. We saw Holy Baptist online and Cummings Church. I still remember wondering, are we dressed right? Is it okay? And then you got here and there was, to me, look, they're wearing jeans. Wow. And they're not speaking King James Version. This is interesting. Leave the transformation to Christ. You will find that the things that need to change are not what you're wearing. Something very different. It's you, and he will do that. There is something else, though, about being the invited. The second, what if? What if it's weird, and I don't understand what it's all about? As I was doing this, I thought about the baptism and think you might be there and seeing people ducked in water without even asking, can they swim? What if I don't know what to do? I've been watching The Chosen. It's a dramatization of the life of Jesus Christ and his followers. And I started at the beginning and I'm a fair way through. And you can actually then look at the characters as they are developed and you look at their backstory, etc. But I was just thinking, what if you joined at somewhere in the middle? It's possible that you might make the wrong conclusions about some characters, but that changes once you know their backstories. The same thing is possible if this is your first church attendance. It might make more sense when you come back again. Give it a try again. Give it a try again. Next thing to talk about is the host. We've talked about the inviter, the invited. What about the host? It's a good thing. It's a good thing to attend church. Some of you would have heard of Diana Ross and the Supremes. You won't have heard of Josh and the Gratitudes. Well, 2 weeks ago, I'm standing at the back and I'm talking to Josh, and he said, he and a group of friends, they start the day with thinking of, I think it was 10 things they're grateful to God for, and they send that to each other. So you wake up and they're 10 things. And part of me just thought, wow, to start your day that way, amazing. When you come to church, those sort of things lift you. You could stay at home, you'd miss out on it. So I remember Josh and the Gratitudes whenever you're listening to Diana Ross next time. It's important, though, to remember we get very good at joining in. We get very good at being able to copy and conform. We're not here to learn to do church. We're here to be part of a family. We're here to be part of God's family. And so it's very important to get to know the host. You run the risk of knowing the people and forgetting whose party it actually is. It's very, very important to get to know God. There are attributes about Christ which make it so important. Lewis talked about Psalm 23, where he tells us he's the good shepherd. He will be with us. We won't lack for anything. When you find out about this host, you're at the lowest point in your life and you just need somebody to help. And you suddenly find there's somebody who can, and they're a friend, and they care about you. They want to be with you. I'll talk to you about a man called Zacchaeus. He's found in Luke chapter 19, the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was going through this town called Jericho. He was passing through, and there's a man there called Zacchaeus. He's a chief tax collector. And it's interesting, tax men still have a bit of a bad reputation. It wasn't great then. He was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a fig tree. Jesus reaches the spot, looks up and sees Zacchaeus and says, "Come down. I must stay at your house today." The people around looked and thought, "Do you know who that is? That's a sinner. You're actually going to be with a sinner?" Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to your house. This man is the son of Abraham. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save the lost." We're talking about a host who leaves 99 sheep and goes out to seek the one that strayed. And I still remember thinking about that story, thinking, why would you have 99 sheep and you're missing out on one and go and look for them? Why? And then it struck me that if I was one of those 99 and I saw Christ coming back with the sheep that was lost, it would give me hope that if I strayed, he would come and find me. There are times where we're there in church where it's not perfect, the Christian life. We're learning each day and we will stumble, we will fall. To know we have a Father who will come and find us, whatever we do, is comforting. The next story is the story of the prodigal son, where the father spends time looking out, watching to see if the son will come back. I've spent a huge amount of time, I think, talking about the host because it's very important to remember. This isn't a question of rules, regulations. It's getting to know Christ. I talk about the time when we just went into using all the tech here, and Ian, who's sitting in the congregation, was going to lead. And he was a bit apprehensive about, oh goodness, what if I get something wrong? And we stood together and I said, Ian, if Christ was sitting in the back, he'd probably look at you and smile and go, I'm proud of you. We need to remember that is the God who we serve. So I was just thinking, important to get to know the host, important to invite people. Picture yourself as a child walking around and you walk up to God and you ask him a question. You find it's God who's actually done the inviting, not us. Christ says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sends, unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. So there you are asking God, dear God, what are you planning to do today? And he says, I'm planning to go out again to search for more of my lost sheep to bring them home. Wouldn't it be great, like a little child, to look up at God and say, can I help? How do you know when you've met with God? And this is a big theological point. You know when you're Noah. You just know. There's a peace that you have when you've met with Christ. He describes it as a peace beyond all understanding. You know when you've met with Christ. It's not the counterfeit thing, it's the real thing. And he is just there, full of love and patience. And I would love to picture myself again as that child, just looking to God, not inviting people because I've been told to, but because I just want to help. Lord, show me how. Got a few questions.
What is the main thing that makes you feel uncomfortable or unsure about inviting someone to church? Will you be willing to do the inviting and trust God with what happens after? Everyone is welcome. Will you help us to make sure that everyone feels welcomed?
Cake.
He didn't talk about cake at all. He didn't talk about writing an invitation on cake. I'm disappointed by that. I thought we could patent that.
We can now, because David didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
There's lots in there. I mean, I think it's really interesting, isn't it? Because, so my feeling about sort of getting to know the host bit of it is there's that feeling of like, well, who's invited you if it's not the host?
Yeah.
In which case, how would you not know that? I was just trying to get my head around that, getting to know the host. But in that sort of like, so I was going down the analogy of a party, and sometimes you don't know the host.
No, that's true.
True.
That's
and you true. Might have a friend, oh, I've got a plus one, come along with me type thing. Or like at a wedding, you might not know the couple, but you might just be the plus one. But I was also thinking that, you know, it's and then that's, you wouldn't, I don't think I would naturally go up to the host and go, hi.
Yeah, no.
I've come to your party, you don't know anything about me.
No, but maybe if you brought your plus one, you would invite your plus one to the introduce them to the host.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So is that what we do? So we're part of the inviting, and then we're inviting people to meet Jesus. Is that?
Yeah. And how do we do that?
Yeah. I like the analogy. What I think you were saying was the analogy of the lost sheep.
Yes.
About when Jesus went off, that we could go and help.
Yeah.
That if you were 99 and Jesus had gone off to look, you might think, oh, I'll go and help you.
Rather than just sitting in the pen waiting.
Which is sort of what we're doing, isn't it? By sort of doing the inviting. Yeah,
quite like that. Yeah, no, I like that. That's probably better to get my head around.
No, I think that's
great. I think I'm just tired.
No, I think that's a great thing, isn't it, about a sermon? You listen to it, or sharing, as David would call it, but you listen to it and you hear different things, don't you? And that's why it's...
I mean, and I think the thing is like sort of coming back to that enjoyable is, you know, is what you're inviting to them and enjoyable? Are they wanting to come? And actually there is an element of that. Actually, that's not our call, is it?
No.
We've got to do the invite, and then it's up to them, and it's up to God to put some that kind of nudge in, because I think some people feel that nudge and go, oh, I feel like I should go, actually. Yes. And that's nothing to do with you having done the invite, but you've opened the door.
Yes.
But I think the bit of like when they come in, that very much that, you know, rather than it feel like a big thing that they've got to walk through those doors, that actually there's lots, and I think this is where Holy Baptist Church is quite good at it, sort of very welcoming. There's people there looking for those people that look like they might be
lost
a rabbit in their headlights. and just sort of helping to bring them in, and exactly what you said, introduce them to the host and say, right, this is what it's about. This is who we're talking about. This is who we're singing songs to and stuff like that. And this is what it looks like. And I think I sometimes lead the services, and I think that bit, just that bit of like what to expect. So I often will say there's going to be a talk, there's going to be some singing, there's going to be some prayer, blah, 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 the kids will go out here. But I think actually that's really useful for those who have walked in for the first time. The people who have sat there for years be going, why is she saying that? We know what's happening.
Yeah.
But actually I think it's really useful for those that are, you know, it's alien to.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think, you know, it's really scary coming in, especially if you're coming by yourself.
Yeah.
What was the other question?
We've got some questions. So the first question, what is the main thing that makes you feel uncomfortable or unsure about inviting someone to church?
Well, we talked about this the other week, and I don't know what it is, because I'm terrible at it. And I think, because the worst that can happen is they can say no.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm not quite sure why I'm quite, and I think maybe because I think that would be an embarrassing situation if I say to a good friend, oh, you don't want to come to church, and they go no. Going forward, will that
how
make
does that make a difference on your friendship then? Yeah.
But if the friendship is good enough anyway, I don't think it's it shouldn't be a problem. I think we are a little bit scared, and when people have come to church,
and it's putting yourself out there, isn't it? It's saying, it's declaring something about yourself, maybe that they might have an inkling about, but you're actually specifically declaring that you go to church on a Sunday, and now you're inviting them.
I think
there's another element of that, is that actually then the worry that it could change the friendship if they don't want to do it, because they're like, oh no, they're only friends with me because they want me to go to church.
Yes,
and that's not the case. And like you say, if the friendship's strong enough, it won't matter. But sometimes you can think, oh, you know.
I know, and that can happen. I've got a friend I went out with recently for coffee, and we were chatting, and he said, I've got another friend that I see. He said, every time I see her, she invites me to church. And I think that's why she's my friend. And I was really sad, because I'm sure that's not the case. I'm sure that's not the only reason they're
friends. No, you couldn't then, could you?
Well, no, absolutely not. I couldn't say, well, she didn't come to my church. So, but we talked about it, and it was really good. And I said, well, you know, I go to church, and you know, you'd be very welcome anytime. Yeah. And I've tried to sort of say, you know, if we've, and I think what I tried to say to him was, if we have found something or found a relationship that is the best thing in our life,
yeah,
why wouldn't we want to invite other people to come along? Yeah. And I think sometimes we're a bit too shy. And I think that's why his friend sounds great to me, far better than I am. But there is that sense, you don't want people to think that, do you? You don't want to think she's got ulterior motives. Yeah, to invite them to church. Yeah. But there is that sense in us, isn't there? There should be that, you know, we know the host.
Yeah.
You know, we've been at the party, we're enjoying the party, and you want your friends to join it.
Yeah, agreed. Mm. I think the other thing that I sometimes think that maybe make me feel uncomfortable or unsure about inviting somebody, not here for this church, but in previous churches, is like, what's it going to be like this Sunday?
I know.
You know, so is it going to be like, oh, no. So I think it's good to have consistency, which I think we do in church, where you as the inviter know what's going to land for the invited.
No,
I think unknowns can make you feel at risk as the inviter.
Yes, yes.
And obviously then the accountability will spread out into the person who's coming.
I agree, but I think we're quite consistent here.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I think drawing to an end.
Yes.
I hope you've enjoyed today. There were other questions, but we'll leave you to think on those. Next week is, I don't know what's happening next week. That's bad, isn't it?
Must be a new series.
It's a new series. Ian is speaking next week, and I can't remember what I've talked about. But this has been a good series. I've enjoyed this series. And do listen back to the other two. Listen to wherever you get your podcasts, on YouTube.
Yeah. And I think there's some practical steps, isn't there? And just some thought-provoking discussions, but also questions. Mm. To think about where you're at. Are you the inviter? Are you the invited? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're being invited, you know, give it a try. It's not that bad. No, you're here on the podcast. So, you know, it's something worth trying. And I think that's the thing is, what's the worst that could happen?
Absolutely right. What is the worst that could happen? If you walk in and you don't like it, you can just walk out again.
Yeah. Nobody's going to come running after you.
No.
Rugby tackle you at the ankles.
But you may find, you know, the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's a little risk involved, really.
So
thank you for joining us.
Have a good week, and someone will see you next week.
Take care. Bye.
That is it for today's episode. Well done for joining us and making it here to the end. Hopefully you feel slightly encouraged at least, or that you want to follow Jesus just that little bit more closely. You can join us in the room on a Sunday, but if that's too big of a next step for you, did you know you could also join us online for a video feed to one of our morning services? Do get in contact with us if you'd like to find out how you can do that. If you've got any questions about what you've heard today or about anything that's to do with following Jesus and just church lives, things we might be able to help you with, we've got an email address just for you. It's gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you there. Don't forget to share this. If you've enjoyed it, somebody else might do too. Share it with your friends. If you want to keep up to date with all that we do, hit that subscribe button to maintain that link with us and all that we produce. You can find it as well, links to these different things, on hawleybaptist.org.uk/media as well. Thank you for joining us again. We pray God blesses you, and we will look forward to you joining us next time.